The question was asked, why does the Torah preclude going to fortune tellers? So there are two approaches. Maimonides says, because it's all a lie. They're all charlatans. So Maimonides says, they're just pulling your leg. Now, in my youth, my black history, you know, my deep, dark history, I studied magic. And I can tell you that if I wanted to make some money, I could convince you that I know your past, present, and future. There is a lot of shenanigans into fortune telling, meaning there's definitely a capacity to get people to believe that you know them really well, and when people see that you know them without them divulging information, then they're also convinced that you know the future, and if you know about how to talk about the future well, then whatever happens, they will believe you were right. Because something very exciting is going to happen to you tomorrow. And you might not notice it if you don't pay attention. Okay? Now, this trip, when you come back and look back at it, will have impacted your life in ways that you didn't anticipate. You see? I can play the game. And there's something that happened in your youth that you don't like thinking about. Okay, so there's a game here, right? Yeah. But if I want to play on your weaknesses, I can. And I could convince you that I really know you. Mm-hmm. And there's that deep, dark place in your personality that you don't like going, and you don't want other people to even know exists.
You nailed it so far.
Oh, yes. And we could talk about that sadness that creeps in when you try to be... So if I wanted to tell you that I was a fortune teller, there are lines that we can say, and if you pay close attention to the radio and all these shows, it's all a game.
Right.
And I can tell you as one who knows how to bend forks and levitate and make things appear out of thin air, it's all a game. So there's definitely room, logically, to understand Maimonides. We're not even discussing the hallucinogenics that they used to use when people would come to them, which today in England is a complete science as they study the ancient witches and warlocks of England. Today they understand that if you stand in front of a mirror and the warlock is going to put a little bit of hallucinogenic in front of you and burn those spices, those plants that cause you to hallucinate, so you will see the mirror talking. It's going to happen. You know, that's what you're waiting for, your Aunt Jemima to come out of that mirror. She's going to come because you're hallucinating. You know, I'm not even going there. I'm not talking about the ventriloquists and the capacity for people to make voices sound like they were coming from skulls. And don't forget that if we weren't sitting here in this aura, if we were sitting in a dark little gypsy tent, and I had a crystal ball and a big turban, and I was telling you all these things about all kinds of other wonderful things in your personality and life, then you really could believe me that I know you. And if I'm going to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, you're going to be very careful. Now, I'm going to be smart enough not to talk about tomorrow. I'm going to talk about your future. I'm not going to talk about tomorrow. Because if I'm a fortune teller, then I have to talk about your fortune, not about tomorrow. Okay? There are things you really want should happen in your life. And some will come true, surprisingly. But there will be others that you will spend your whole life looking for, and they won't come true. Now, look at that. Aren't I a prophet? I can talk about, I can forecast things without knowing you, and I can talk to everyone here and make them feel like I know them. So the Rambam, Maimonides approach, it's all a lie. The Rambam says the Torah tells you don't go there because they're liars.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you as one who studied it,
yeah,
as Nachmanides writes, that even though there once was such a wisdom, today they're all liars. That's Nachmanides. So the big difference between Maimonides and Nachmanides is, was there ever such a force to tap into? The fact that today they're all liars? Nope. So I'm telling you, we can play the game. But Nachmanides says God created a world with forces. And God created a world where you can tap into those forces. And then God says, it's not for you. I gave you the real thing. Those forces are things I created in nature. Don't deal with that. It's not worth your time. I want you to be whole with me. Talk to me. I run your life. When our sages say, the verse says, okay, Ki hagoyim ha'ele, these nations that you are inheriting their land. They listen to all kinds of sorcerers who say, this is a good time for this, and this is the magic for doing that. But you're not that way. God has given you a prophet. God's going to give you a prophet like me. You don't need that. What was God saying in that pasuk? They go to sorcerers, you don't. What was Hashem saying? They go to sorcerers who tell them real things, and you don't need that because you get the accurate thing from me? Or was Hashem saying they're wasting their time and you have the real thing? Two approaches. Now, if we go with Nachmanides' approach, there are forces in the world, and there were once upon a time people who could tap into those forces, and Hashem's saying it's not for you. So then we do have places where the halacha does discuss certain things that we do do. Let's take Rosh Hashanah night. You dip your apple in the honey, you dip your challah in the honey. What are you doing there? So we say, in heaven, they might want to bless you with a good sweet year, but they're saying, get started. Meaning sometimes in heaven, there's a blessing. Imagine you come to your son and you say, I want to give you the car. And your son says, thanks, and takes the keys and walks out. Now, you're going to say, no kiss? I'll come give you a kiss and go off. Now, you're not going to take it back, right? Because he already has the keys. But imagine that you tell your son, I want to give you the car. And your son says, really, when? So you say, next week. Now, during that week, your son really misbehaves. You might say next week, hey, son, I meant to give you the car, but now you've been behaving that way, forget it, right? So sometimes by getting it started, so to speak, you lock it in. So when we eat the challah with the honey, we're saying, God, you want to bless us with the sweet? You're here. We started off sweet. We just started. Here. We started. We're it's a sign. But what does that mean, it's a sign? It means, here, I've started it. It's real. Now you should bless us. It should continue this way. What I'm telling you now is Nachmanides. It's not Netanel Frankenthal. What?
Science says it requires less energy.
What requires less energy?
Well, once you're moving, it's less energy than to start something from the sun.
Yeah. Now, the concepts you discussed earlier, that sometimes we hear our fortune is one way and that can affect us negatively, that's definitely mentioned. Meaning if there are many examples to that. But the Torah keeps reminding us the other way. Meaning, there's definitely the concept where a person's lying in bed and they tell him, you know, you're deathly ill. He's not going to get out of that bed.
Yeah.
He thinks he's finished. Well, his will to live goes down.
Right.
And there's the aspect of a guy who's deathly ill and they tell him, you could run a marathon. Come on, it's a joke. Don't worry about it. So then that gives him strength. So there is that aspect where our attitude does affect our capacity, and it does affect our future. I'll give you a small example. There's a series you guys probably know, Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Yeah.
Okay? So they wrote one of those series. One of them is Chicken Soup for Realizing Your Dreams. And in the introduction to the book, they wrote how they found that people who read this actually end up realizing their dreams. And they don't know how to explain it. And then they put out another pamphlet which speaks about how to realize your dreams. And they said, people who read this actually realize their dreams. And I read that book, and I said, that doesn't make sense. And then I said to myself, okay, what's my dream? I said, my dream is to be the rabbi of a local Orthodox community. And within a year, I was.
Yeah.
I don't have an explanation. Okay? I do have an explanation. Like they write in the book. When you can think about your dreams, and you start thinking about them as things that can become reality, which is part of what happens when you read a book that's filled with stories of people who were able to realize their dreams.
Right, right.
So then what starts happening is you start approaching your dreams very differently. You start being active about realizing your dreams. So when you believe a fortune teller who tells you, you are going to be a millionaire, you're going to work on being that millionaire because it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So now you're going to, you might ruin your life. You might end up losing it all in the stock market. That could also happen, right? It could happen both ways. The Torah tells us, Tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. The Torah says, I want you to be whole with Hashem. I want you to work with me. Don't look for these outs. Whether you go Nachmanides' approach, that these approaches actually have There is some element of strength to them. Or you go with Maimonides' approach. Either way, they don't decide the future.
Right.
Either way, Hashem says, I'm deciding. And if you want to have a positive future, then I rule them. They don't rule me. The reason, going back to what we discussed earlier tonight, is that we want to corner God. Why do people look for amulets? Let me force God's hand. Let me ensure that I get my outcome. When I stand and pray, I don't get a receipt. God doesn't say, received, you will have your wish.
Yeah.
But when I go to a fortune teller, he does tell me that.
Right.
So that's much more pleasant. But that's how people end up pagans.
Yeah.
Because the pagan fortune tellers are going to tell you what you want to hear. But that's, so the Torah tells you, tamim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. And even though in halacha we have certain things that are considered good omens, and it's considered a positive thing, when a person benches, he says the after blessing, and then he holds a cup of wine in his hand as he says it. He honors the blessing with a cup of wine. It says it's a good omen for him to have children, for him to drink it, for his wife to drink it. It is. That's quoted in halacha. You have things that the halacha says is a good omen. It says when you cut your nails, you shouldn't leave them lying around because it's a bad omen that could cause a woman to miscarry. What's the connection with nails on the floor and a woman miscarrying? I don't know. But the Talmud says it. It says, be careful, you cut your nails, bury them, put them in the toilet, put them in the garbage, don't leave them lying around. You have to remember, in their days, their nails were thick, their nails were long,
yeah.
They didn't have the nail clippers we have today, their nails were dirty, and they could shower once a week, at best. Can you imagine what your nails would look like if you would only shower once a week?
They're doing hard, dirty labor,
right? The nails were black. Now imagine you step on a nail like that. Okay? I don't know. The Talmud says it can cause a woman to miscarry. Whether the Talmud was talking about an omen or something that's scientific, I don't know. So I'm saying but bottom line, we don't run our lives by that, even though it's tempting.
Yeah.
It is tempting. Yeah.